This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Country Duty Show on CliffCentral.com. My name is Dumisole. My Twitter handle is at Dumisole. I'm with two fabulous human beings.
Hi guys, how are you? Welcome to the Country Duty Show. My name is Katlego, Twitter handle at @handful_K. And I love our intro song today. It is so irrelevant and it is so fitting.
Did you just say irrelevant?
I said it's so relevant.
Irrelevant.
How am I, Meli?
How am I, Meli?
Like, how's my me?
All right, how's it?
I'm good.
All right. Hi guys. Welcome to the show. I'm Rami Chweni. And it's good to be here. Yeah, it's rare that I actually start with the show. So I love it when I can actually make it on time to be like between now and then I'll be like trying to get here.
Got
but
it.
Today we're here. And yeah, what a beautiful song. I mean, guys, just a side note. The People's Bay can sing Shem Watsama.
The People's Bay can
God
do everything.
Bless him. He can do everything. He's so perfect.
He's so perfect. Like, you know, God's gift to women, to the
you
world.
You know what I mean. But yeah, and yes, the song is definitely relevant. I mean, it's amazing how the land issue has always been an issue from a very long time ago, because
for
these
years.
Songs have just been all over. We grew up with them. We know them. We've had them being sung all over the place. I mean, even overseas. I mean, I remember there was a time when Mamambira Makeba was singing one of these songs and they were asking her what the songs meant.
Yeah.
And she was so brave and she was telling them that back at home,
this is what's happening.
These white people are busy taking our land. You know, doing this. It was like, yeah. So,
and then you
Kenelela,
get people who still come out here, you know, no names mentioned, ko palamenteng, who want to come and tell us what the land was negotiated for.
But do not forget that those people are those ones that, when they, as soon as they got out of jail, the logic escaped and it did not say goodbye.
Okay.
Can we stop
throwing shades?
Let's be
guys. Welcome to the Country Duty Show. A lot has happened since last week. This time last week we were talking about Ramaphosa assuming position and getting in, and he was busy preaching to Mamina, and you'd have seen how time flies, and now there was a cabinet reshuffle a couple of days ago.
The new dawn.
Well,
the so-called
yes,
new dawn.
So-called new dawn. And, you know, I don't know what you guys think about the so-called new dawn. Isn't it the recycling?
Well, I've got issues about that.
Tell us.
And what I like about it is because I think, in a way, I do have a bit of a ground as a person who has always been on the part of the leading party, you know? So it's not like, I don't know, it's not like I'm speaking from the opposition side. I'm speaking from in-house.
Yes.
And I was actually thinking about it. Even this morning, you know, I was sitting up before I got out of bed. I was like, you know what? There is a bridge missing. And that has always been my issue and my gripe with the leading party, because we don't have young people who can actually step in, you know. It's like you can't use. We need new shoes. We need new skins. We need new equipment. We need. New. Yeah. And then I was thinking, can I tell you, this whole thing actually traumatized me almost the whole day, because around 4 p.m. I was still thinking about it. And I was thinking back, like, okay, fine. Even if we were to do this and call it like a family thing. Yeah. I've come to the realization that half of the people whose parents, whose forefathers were part of the struggle are not necessarily interested in politics.
100%.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
I mean, I can quote so many names and of people that I know that are not necessarily into politics. Mm. So, but we need a new, fresh wave to hit us.
So you're saying that the ANC has no young people?
I know they're there, but I'm saying, why are they not being
brought to the fore,
but, you know?
But surely, I mean, you speak about young people. Let's just go to the ANC Youth League, for example, because that's ordinarily how
the 35
you know, it would
year, work. 35.4 year
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, so listen, I'm 29 again. You know,
you know, I know you can be what you want to be.
I can be whichever.
Can be anything. 100%.
But I think your point is correct. It says two things. Firstly, that either there's a crisis regarding leadership and succession. More importantly, it seems like the old stock is the one that's going to determine young people's roles in life. And it's a scary thought at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I was speaking to an adult about this, and they said that. The people who, or the older generation, has more experience than the younger generation. My argument, however, to that is that the younger generation brings in fresh ideas.
True.
Because, yes, fine, they have the experience, but all they have is the, like, it's not like they're not going to transfer the experience through to the younger generation as the older people. So the younger people will still be able to learn and then come in and then, you know, just maneuver it a bit so that it suits our generation.
Listen, yes. Let me tell you, guys, let's just put politics aside.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put politics aside. In the circle of life,
yes,
or the cycle of life, whichever way you want to call it, is that there's a time where the old need to make space for the young. And there's a time where now the old also need to teach the young.
Indeed.
Because the young cannot be, the young are there willing to learn.
Yes.
But is there someone who's prepared to teach
to
them?
To teach them.
So most of them, they get taught as they go along. You know, there's some things as a parent you don't tell your kids. But just because you don't tell your kids, it doesn't mean that they will not find out anyway. So we want to be able to have, I want us to have a generation of old people, or the generations of ama fossils who are able to say, listen, it doesn't matter how great, how young I feel, how young I look, how much power I want to hold on to. But
yes,
there is a fresh breed of people who are waiting to lead, and now they know better. You know, you can come, guys, we are using smartphones, technology has been advanced, and then you can come with that telephone that you have to wind, that has to go via
an
operator, and then you want to lead a generation as fast paced
as we are.
And it doesn't mean that we don't know where we come from, it doesn't mean we don't know the history, it doesn't mean we don't know the politics, but there's so many things that are affecting the face of politics right now, because we are holding on to some things that right now we need to be doing away with.
100%.
And not only just things, even people.
Yes.
But people want to go on pension. I think, you know, ordinarily, and credit to the president, he started off on an equal footing and, you know, bought some positive vibes. But some of us warned and we said he's always been there. If you think about it, throughout the madness that we encountered for the 9 years, he was deputy.
Yeah.
He was there and he's seen it. And it's very interesting also how the media sees someone as a new dawn, a sense of hope, without necessarily critiquing the person and doing so objectively. You know, the jogs that he was doing, he's always done it, and all of a sudden they were then equated to, you know, a change of some sort. And I think there are so many people that are disappointed as a result of, you know, the recycling, and we must talk about that, and it's very unfortunate.
I think for me the new dawn kind of works in terms of, you're just hoping that, you know, with someone like CR and the kind of intellect and the kind of man that he is and all the things that he's been exposed to, he is in a way in a very good position to change a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
But you see, but I was expecting him to come with like guns, guys, crazy. Guns blazing, young people ready
to get in, but I think we're ignoring something very important. However, if you look at the election, the elective conference of the ANC, Cyril never had a base, you know, in Limpopo,
in KZN.
So he's always been the alternative, anything but Zuma type of thing. And as a result of that, it becomes difficult for him. And that's why we have these recycled people. So he needs to leverage on certain people for him to be able to make demands. But the problem with that is it comes at a greater expense to our country. Our callers should join our discussion. WhatsApp us on 0797482090, and our studio number is
0861555189. leadership, though, you should know this number.
Of course, I do. You know, sometimes you just want to do. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, and follow us. Follow us at Country Duty ZA, I believe. We're on Twitter. And you can always, when you do your comments, you can also hashtag Country Duty, and so that we're able to read your tweets. And you can follow me, Rami Chweni, and
@handful_k
and at Tumisole. Yeah,
can you just get it right?
Handful, no, but @handful_k, guys. Like,
you've always fancied that.
I want to say your name and not say @handful. You know, there's nothing I can do about that right now. But what I also wanted to say was that, this thought cannot escape me.
It's escaping. You're talking about recycling and people and pensions, and Ramaphosa not having a base of some sort.
I just remembered. But what I was saying is that now, you know, a few years ago, 2019 seemed so far away.
True.
And now we're in 2018, guys. Tomorrow is the 1st of March.
Sure.
We basically have a year. A full year.
Yeah.
Just a year and a bit. And then, like, we are there at the elections. We are there doing, you know, we are there, guys. 2019 is here. Mm. And then what? You know? Because now we can't start having, like, people gathering themselves around, like, 2 months before the actual time.
They're but supposed I'm also, to have started right now.
Yes, but I'm also hopeful that with Cyril trying to leveraging and having to, you know, do the give and take thing. Come 2019, he will also kind of have the power to, you know, guys, yeah, no. Yeah.
His actions will speak louder, though. Because right now, I think people are sick and tired of hearing the words over and over again. So what he does going forward, across everything, across all the boards, what he does going forward is going to speak more volumes.
No, it
more
will definitely be a
than
do a,
what
it will be a do or die
any
thing.
Campaign he's going to do or die.
Guys,
as much as we can dispute the fact that the opposition parties are like seriously gearing themselves up.
The deal is over. I'm sorry. But the deal is finished.
Who's that?
That's the question.
Who's
anyway,
that?
Anyway, and I think that's the right question.
do you
call us, tweet us, and join the discussion? You know, we have an important guest, and we just talk here amongst ourselves, and I could see that he has the edge to chat with us, and we'll let him be. Dumela TV, so welcome to the Country Duty Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. And thanks for the Wi-Fi password.
Wow, I don't even have it.
Nobody.
But you know, Rami, when I don't have data struggles, you know, so it is what
exposés.
It is. leave other kids. Tibiso is a lawyer at WMC, and he's going to be talking to us, amongst other things, the recent things that we've seen in Parliament, what the cabinet reshuffle means. He's going to be touching on, you know, the budget and the VAT increases, and whether we are in a, you know, better off situation or position rather as a country, or we should be worried.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting to talk about. I'm looking forward to talking about the budget side of it. Because, I mean, it's very touch. It touches me, though, guys. Thank you very much for joining us today. Please call us, guys, on 0861-555-189. Our WhatsApp number is 079-748-2090.
Tibiso.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I think what's very topical today is the reshuffle.
Yeah.
And people have varying views about it. And I've seen, Sole, you've already said that some people feel that it's just the recycling. And one of the ministers who was let go of was Susan Shabangu. You know, I remember Susan Shabangu, Kisanzanikiloko Primary School.
Yes.
So it's amazing that we still have people like that running government.
Yeah.
So, but it's interesting, and you know, my view is that it's more politicking than anything really, because look at someone like Des Van Rooyen, who was reshuffled and who doesn't have a position any longer.
Yeah.
But also look at someone like Batabile, look at Nomvula Mokonyane. They still have jobs. They were just replaced and put elsewhere. But the question is, why was there a reshuffle? Why are there isn't consistency, you know?
Yeah.
The fact is, Nomvula and Bathabile were poor performers. We 100%. Know this because they leave behind ministries that are in shambles,
100%.
Tons in debt. And tons of debt. Yes, yes. And broken. these are current things that are happening. I mean,
yeah.
Are they being moved elsewhere to create more debt and create more havoc?
Indeed, you know? And those things definitely affect us ordinary South Africans. But if one looks at, you know, you mentioned your Nomvula and Bathabile, and one then has to ask the question, you know, is it temporary, this type of removal? I mean, I think Bathabile, and maybe I'll get your views, especially to the two co-hosts that are clear and vocal on women issues. Do you think she's going to serve any purpose in the women's ministry, in parliament or in the office of the presidency? Isn't this an insult to a certain extent?
A slap in the face.
Well, okay. I actually don't want to get emotional about it.
Yes,
or be irrational about it. But
yeah.
I think there are a couple of steps that we can actually talk about
yeah.
that can, in a way, help us kind of figure out where are we going to go, you know? In terms of running the ministry, I honestly do not know. But then, I mean, Bathabile is the ANC Women's League leader.
She's a president. Or whatever. Yes,
she is. She's the president of the ANC Women's League.
Yeah.
And
but even that league is
but
very
that's why I'm
silent.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That I think most of the time the ANC Women's League, we've had more misses than hits. You understand, we're not actually the Women's League itself hasn't been a united front. And then I will, but this is just gonna be my opinion as
of
well
course.
Because like being a member,
so I just want to add, Rami, they've also haven't been very consistent in the
yes.
issues that they stand
exactly.
for.
Exactly. That's 100%. What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We
yes.
had more misses than hits.
Yep.
You know, it's one thing to, and I'm not saying one case is more important than
the
other, but you need
yes.
to be able to choose your struggles. You can't be going to march and then get there in your uniform to go and listen to like Oscar Pistorius's case.
Yes.
And then 2 weeks later, we've got the same kind of a case and then nobody yeah, shows up. You understand? It's like the way they. It's like it's being weighed at as
public stance,
as public stance. Even if that's not the intention, but it comes across like that. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And then also because of the of the Women's League not being united, and it causes a lot of havoc within the actual mother body. Because
correct.
As much as we'd like to think that we've got male leadership, guys. Almost 63% of the ANC is
women. No, that's true.
It's women.
And
we need the ANC Women's
yes.
League, which is why, in my personal capacity, I think that's one of the reasons why Bathabile Dlamini would never be out of office.
Yes.
Because as the
so
president
she
holds of the
women, a strategic
hold,
vote and she has that power.
Yes. But that's just me. That's my opinion going like.
But can she not be voted out of as president and somebody else be voted in as the president of the Women's League?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Until the time comes where we need to like now re-elect another leader, then that is something.
Probably
that is
party.
Something. Yes.
Yeah.
But she'll still have a constituency. That's the thing, though. So she
yeah.
remains influential, and you want
yeah.
to have, especially for Cyril, because
yes, exactly.
it's 5 years. He needs another 5 years. So.
Yeah. And right now, Bathabile, unfortunately or fortunately, is the key. She
yeah.
holds it.
Mm.
You
no,
know,
that's
and
true.
Confidently so, because once you can mess with the ANC Women's League. Within the mother body, because it's not called mother body for Mahala,
of course. And,
yeah.
and I think you guys have touched on very important points, and how all these things will ultimately influence how the ANC, you know, fares in next year's election. I think, you know, Cyril doesn't really have time. If you look at it,
no,
as you correctly said, it's March. When are they starting to campaign? When is he going to clean house? And with the way things are going, we're really going to be in for some surprises. And I think opposition parties need to step up. Whether they can or not, it's something else. Do you think the DA is still relevant You asked who are they, but I'm just saying.
I'm trying to understand what you're talking about.
Because they've always been, and maybe let me contextualize it. It's always been that Jacob Zuma, and I know they've been talking about other things, but they've always premised themselves
on
Jacobus, and now Jacobus is gone, and we now find themselves in. Mr. President, we agree with you. We can work together. What do you think?
But DA has its people. The DA represents a certain demographic in South Africa,
which
they'll always, which is WMC, and a few other people, but you know
this station is not censored. It's not SABC. Don't drop F bombs unnecessarily. Not that don't drop them, but I'm just saying that can be free.
No. I still need my job, eh?
Of course.
So I need to be careful about that, but they still have their constituency, you know, and I think we need a strong opposition for the governing party.
Correct.
Whichever it turns out to be in 2019, to be kept on its toes, to be reminded that you're accountable to the people.
Indeed.
And I think that they make the correct noises, you know, and they also represent the rights and interests of the minority.
Because indeed.
And those voices need to be heard. So I think they're still... There's still value in having the DA in parliament and in that other country.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also you know, going back to talking about needing fresh blood, needing new people, needing new leadership, people who are like, who don't have a sense of entitlement. And I'm not going to dispute that fact, guys. Please do not get me wrong. I understand the political history, especially of the ANC.
Yeah.
I know it. I get it. I have the book. But right now, let's just take EFF for instance, okay?
Yeah.
The EFF, what they did, they kind of went to the drawing board. And I mean, yes, you know when you look at them and you're like thinking, this bunch of boys who make so much noise all the time.
Yes.
Oh, they're going to walk out. Ah, oh, there he goes.
Predictable.
Oh, he's so predictable. Oh, then you know the cabinet and all of that. But I'm thinking, while they're busy making noise,
yeah,
it's also part of a distraction because these boys, what they basically did within the noise, they went to school, got an education.
100%.
There's a strategy that is happening underneath. Mm. You know when back in the day when people were talking about the underground struggle.
Yes.
There's this underground struggle that the EFF is up to.
So what is organized chaos?
It's organized chaos, guys.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
But Rami, I want to just pick, you know, on your point. You spoke earlier about young and fresh leadership. And surely this alternative, which is the EFF, is presenting that somewhat.
Yes.
And however, the risk is always, as you always would have in the workplace or wherever, you know, seniority, you'd have to get it from people who've been there. And those people are the ANC.
Yeah.
Do you think them being the young blood as they are, they would ultimately have to collaborate with the ANC and bring a bit of change to.
They did it with the land debate.
They did it. And you know what? What I liked about what happened a few days ago is that they were basically open.
Yeah.
Open to say, fine, this is what we were looking for. And if that's what you're going to do and deliver,
we'll stand
with you because that's what we've always wanted.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, Julius being Julius, he's always spicy, you know, the way he will put the things and the words.
Did you hear that opening line?
Before we get on to the land issue, which is really important, let's just maybe ask TV. So, I mean, the Minister of Finance has always been a very contentious issue, and people who are occupying it, together with the likes of your the PIC, you know, corporate governance and other things. And we know, I mean, Tlatla Nene was shown the door. Interestingly, the very same guy who fell off an interview at the SABC, you know, and someone tweeted, just that I forgot the handle, that, you know, Indotea Vuga, you know, and you don't just laugh, you know, and he's here, he's back to finish what he should have, you know, finished before he kicked out. Mm. But do you think Cyril's move by calling him back and asking him to serve is a good move? Yeah. Do you think it's a certain affront on Zuma to say, listen, dude, you messed up here and we should have done things correctly? What's your view?
You know, I think Cyril has a lot of faith in Ntlantla Nene because what he needs to, and I think this is a question that Country Duty, at Country Duty, asked earlier today, what he needs to prioritize.
Yes.
And I think that what he wants to prioritize is to bring investors back into the country by the drafts. And that is something that he's going to achieve by getting Nhlanhla Nene to be finance minister again. But, you know, I'm not 100% sure that Nhlanhla Nene is the correct man for the job. And this is probably not a very popular view, but
yes.
I hold to it. And, you know, and the reason I'm thinking, he was there for just over a year,
yes.
2014, May until December 2015.
Yes.
But there's nothing remarkable that he achieved in that period.
But you know? Surely he didn't have time. I mean, you get appointed into a ministry, mm-hmm. and before you know it, when you try to be comfortable, you show in the door.
He was deputy minister before that. Okay. He had been there from...
It's not like he hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
Like
so he should have had a plan when he was going in there to make tangible changes that... everyone's going to feel, that the poor are going to feel.
There you said it. The issue we have, or the issue that I have before I cover the whole of South Africa, the issue I have is when people walk into a room or walk into war without a plan.
Yeah.
No one is equipped. No one is prepared. No one is, mentally stable, emotionally balanced, the intellectually aware, you know. It is just this bubble of leading a traditional thing and saying, according to the this and this and this, this is what will happen, and this is how it should happen.
Yeah.
And I am saying, maybe it is time to go back and take out some of these so-called traditional rules that seriously binds us and holds us back, because I don't see a reason. I don't see why, for instance, when the president chooses his cabinet, he cannot just go far and wide. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that can be employed in the EFF who I believe that they deserve a seat on the cabinet.
100%.
You know, there are a lot of people, even on that other non-existent party.
Yes.
You know, there are some people there
with proper ideas.
Look at someone like Phumzile.
Yes.
You know, you're saying that Ramaphosa should be able to elect his cabinet from the opposing parties as well.
That's exactly 100%. What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. One of the things that hold us back, guys, it's because
politics and through party
lines.
But isn't that what the shadow ministries are there for? Like, they should be sitting down with the non-shadow.
But what I'm saying is that we need. I wish we could be able to review that, because we are losing out. As much as we think the UDM is Bantu Holomisa Ali one, he's got very bright young boys there who can do amazing things. Who can contribute? Exactly. Who can contribute? Who are ready to run with the job? I mean, yes. I mean, for instance. I know he is crazy, he is insane, he's all over the place, he tweets and all of that. But I mean, someone as crazily vibrant as Fikile Mbalula, I can't believe he was shown the door completely.
Yeah,
it's because
the problem with him is he was a Twitter minister and he blocked some of
guys,
us.
But he blocked what? Everybody, guys.
No, it doesn't matter with him blocking everybody. But
how is he
someone...
going to campaign for the ANC on Twitter? Let's block him.
No.
I'm not blocked. I still tweet the minister.
Exactly.
And
he's going to block you. Anybody who's on Cliff's end, who's here on Country Duty, has been blocked after this mentioned on
Twitter. No. Let me tell you that, you know, sometimes, you know, you forget, guys, Twitter is just Twitter.
It is.
Sometimes, you know, and nakongo, you need to take, you know, to take some stuff with a pinch of salt and some of it throw in a bit of sugar and honey, because, you know, when some things are said in jest, and sometimes when things are like seriously, you know, hectically like that. But anyway, enough about it. I think we need to get into the land issue, because there's
before
something
we get into the land issue
about.
I can see you're in it. I asked Tibiso a question. I said, you know, he spoke about Nhlanhla Nene not being there, not necessarily convincing him, but this appointment has been made.
Can I just make a final point, Sule?
Sure.
You know, I don't remember anything remarkable that he did.
Yeah.
And other than the fact that nothing broke when he was minister.
Yeah.
And he seems to have frustrated the Gupta attempt to get money from National Treasury. Mm-hmm. Aside from those two things, I don't remember anything that's remarkable. I mean, he stabilized the markets and all of that, but I don't remember anything, you know? And I think that Cyril has an opportunity if he upsets his party, if he has 5 years.
Yeah.
So if he can put together a solid team mm-hmm. and make South Africa a better place and ensure that it's on a strong footing.
Yeah.
Even if he goes out, we will remember him. He's left a very good legacy, you know.
Yeah.
Get people from the DA, get people from the EFF, wherever you get solid people. Even if they're from the ANC, but you can't have people like Batabile Dlamini and Nomvula just because they have solid constituencies within the ANC.
Yes.
It doesn't. And I hope that maybe this is a temporary measure. After he's elected, after 2019, he comes up with a solid team that's going to take us forward and ensure that South Africa has a stronger and a bigger economy than Nigeria and Egypt.
Yes.
Ooh.
You know, on the economy issue, I mean, one of the things, and we're chatting of that Katlego also mentions, is, you know, Eskom today got this huge, massive, I'd say, relief. What does that mean, you know, from having seen the budget speech and where we are now? Surely they're as good as insolvent.
Yeah, exactly that. And it, you know, the fact that they got the loan after being downgraded means that they're paying more towards that loan.
Yeah. Mm.
Because the interest rate is higher.
Yeah.
So, and you know, that's just the one. And are they going to be able to recover enough from South Africa? Seeing as,
I mean, they're Soweto today, and our historical debts that we're not paying. But but you know,
please don't leave Soweto out of it. It's not just Soweto. There's so many other places.
Mentioning it in passing,
but you must mention all of them.
And I agree with you.
All of them.
But you know,
there's all these municipalities that have not paid and have defaulted from their electricity.
The Soweto example is just many.
Yeah, well,
those,
it's one of them.
It's what normally WMC always use. But you have Soweto today and stuff. Actually, there are businesses that are not paying
that are not
in town and all of those things.
Yeah.
But Soweto we know, Akira.
So give us ones we don't know how. Tlogelang Soweto, guys.
don't get touchy.
So we'll see. Yeah. So we have a situation where, you know, Eskom has to do good on the loan that's been advanced.
Yeah.
You know, from a balance sheet perspective of the country and the budget, how is that going to be recovered? What do you think?
You know, and what's interesting is that, firstly, they need to pay the loan back by money that they make, which means that South Africans need to pay for their electricity, and Eskom needs to recover from wherever. And I'm not, because the fact that Eskom is in the position that they're in now could be the fact that people weren't paying, or they were, or Eskom wasn't able to recover enough for them to service the debt that they already had.
Yes.
So if that's the case, then I'm not sure that Eskom will be able to recover to pay back the 20 billion that they received now, which means that the money's going to have to come from National Treasury.
Yeah.
And it's I don't know where that money is going to come from, because we were informed that we were in a deficit by 195 billion or thereabouts.
Yeah.
So I don't know where the money is going to come from.
Billion rand.
On top of that there's free education for.
You know, guys, and clearly we're talking more of problems and stuff. But now we're gonna get in onto the land issue, and I think the suggestion that I think you and Rami has made regarding the appointment of other members of the opposition to get the country going, that's very important. But we'll just go get a quick ad break and get on and just talk about the land issue, what it means and stuff.
Azovuka amakawa gulomhlaba njani. Hazo sele
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. You are with us here on Country Duty. Yeah, hashtag Country Duty on cliffcentral.com. You can find us. We're having a bit of a struggle with our WhatsApp line, but keep bringing them in. We'll just we'll even put them also on social media. 079-748-2090 at Country Duty ZA on Twitter. Follow us at Dumisole, at Handful_K, and at Rami Training. And yeah, find us. Let's talk about all of this. And that was Mbonginingi. How
yellow. And the land is coming back.
Sarafina, the land is coming back. The land is definitely coming back.
It is. One of our listeners on WhatsApp says the idea of selecting cabinet members from other parties is golden. We are quick to say how there are other fishes in the sea, but want to restrain our choice of leaders to a pond.
Ah, see?
So thank you for your WhatsApp. We see you. Drop your name or Twitter handle and we can give you a shout out. Tibiso, just before we get on to the land issue, you've seen and you heard Malusi unfortunately quoting Kendrick Lamar.
No, that was not a quote. You messed it up. It's you're going to be your right.
You're going to be right.
Yeah, no, anyway, not be right.
But we know that it was written by Vusi Thembekwa.
Oh,
that's where you find
even worse.
But what do you make of the budget speech from you know the country? Is it really something that's to look forward to? Should we be worried?
Yeah, you know, I think the best thing about the budget speech is that they did not increase personal income tax brackets.
Yeah.
So the minimum of 18% stays at 18%. The maximum of 45%, where Lona Ramile Luena Sole, where you are.
Wish, but yeah,
it stays
continue.
At 45%.
Continue. Yeah.
So that's awesome. And it's good for people, you know, for the morale of the people. People have been saying, I don't want to pay more tax because I don't know where my money is going and all of that. So I think that's from a financial perspective, it's good for people to have more in their pockets. And from a psychological aspect, it's also good that people see that there hasn't been an increase. But what's not so great about the decisions that were made there is the increase in VAT, one percentage point, because that's going to have a ripple effect. And the ANC has also come out to say that it's going to affect the poor amongst us. And they're looking at ways of ensuring that it doesn't have as negative an impact as it would otherwise. So we'll wait and see what decisions are made.
But surely there we're just playing games, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is a policy decision, it's the governing party that sits amongst other things that says, listen, this is how we want to see the country and this is what's happening. So they should stop politicking with people's lives. They're coming here, they want to say, we'll look at the less impact and stuff like that.
Mm.
That doesn't solve.
I don't think there's no way that they can actually have a less impact. Because right now everybody's going on about basic foods is not covered by or is not touched by the VAT thing. But basic foods is still touched by your fuel levies and 100%. Stuff. Because your costs to deliver stuff to the basic foods goes up. And therefore the prices then still go up.
Yeah.
So whether you increase the basic food list to include more stuff, even if you look at what the basic food stuff is, your paraffin, your maize meal, it doesn't even have
to be. But you're touching on something that I wanted to say. The problem is when people keep saying, VAT doesn't affect basic foods.
Basic foods.
You know what the issue is?
Yes.
The basic
It is
foods.
The actual VAT itself that will keep people in the basic food scale.
Yes.
Yeah.
The basic food, the so-called basic food, I can have it in my backyard.
Mm.
What I cannot grow in my backyard or what I cannot easily find with my own two hands is the stuff that doesn't actually need VAT itself.
Yes.
So that it is actually attainable, it is obtainable, and it's accessible to people.
And affordable.
Understand? Indeed. So
exactly.
That is why we will always have our people being basic in the bracket of basic.
Yeah.
Don't tell me about maize meal, whoopee. No, guys. Whoopee.
And basic stuff is not even
paraffin and stuff. We don't care
your
about
beans
those
and your
things.
Lentils. Like, you look at it's that like, stuff and you're just like,
and people are okay with people having that basic thing. They must just put it, call it what it is. It's not basic. That's poor. Mm. That's poor people's
100%.
It is not basic food. It's poor people's food.
Indeed. And sadly, we classify them all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And you say, but they are baja zero-rated staff. And
yeah,
it's such
like
an
why?
Insult. Why are we doing this? Yeah. But you know,
fees have fallen also, which is great.
Well, yes, and it's one of those things that we need to. I think it's opened up the industry insofar as having more festivals coming, you know, and it should be welcomed. And there are other things that we can always do insofar as improving that and being innovative.
Yeah.
But this land issue, I mean, there's a caller coming in, and we'll hear what our listeners are saying. But we're about to talk about the land. It's a very emotive issue, and you know, we'd like to get your views on to what is it, what does it mean, and where are we? You know, caller, good evening. Welcome to Country Duty. Maritzela.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
So.
Good. Welcome to the Country Duty show. Can you hear me?
Thanks, man. Yeah, I can hear you. It's like there was a breakup there.
Yeah, just a bit. Sorry about that. Sure.
Okay.
Talk to us.
Okay.
So what do you... Yes.
What's on your mind?
I seem to hear the radio at the same time.
Yeah, maybe it happens at times. But tell us what's on your mind.
Well, I need to speak about two people. Number one, Nsanka Nene and Fiyi.
Yes.
Yes. Number one, Nsanka Nene, I don't know what is special about him.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know what is special about him. Like Tibiso said earlier.
Yeah. So you agree with Tibiso? So there's nothing special with Nsanka Nene.
No,
it's just
about him.
As good as recycled goods at the end of the day.
Yes.
With respect.
And for Fiji, I think he was quite good. I think the problem was that he behaved in such a way that rendered him.
Yeah. So at least if he was more welcoming and there and trying to be inclusive, you know, he became a little arrogant to a certain extent behind the Twitter handle.
Not very ministerial.
Yeah. Sorry about that. We lost our caller. But thank you for calling in. I think it is an important point. And I think, you know, the point is what you said, TB, so that we must not be fooled. He was there. Let's see if he brings something new. Mm. And let's see how we deal with it.
Yeah.
The land issue. How about we give congratulations, you know, and props where it's due. Mm. Last year, this time, in fact, the very same motion was proposed and it was rejected by the ANC. Fast forward a year later, a day thereafter, we now find at least a real possibility that we may actually see an amendment to Section 25. What are your views?
It's great. You know, and I'm not sure, Sole, that we should spend too much time on that.
Yes.
Maybe we should discuss the validity and... how all of this is going to work, how it's going to impact us.
Yes, let's do that.
Because, you know, I see a lot of angry, entitled people on Twitter
100%.
Saying, throwing all sorts of insults.
Yes.
And the people are very quick to forget. It's like, I don't know if it's a South African thing where you want to be ignorant, you don't read, and then you think that you can give a view on an issue.
Yeah.
So it's like South Africans don't know about the Native Land Act, which said that you can't own property as a black person.
Yes.
They don't know about the poor white problem report that was issued, which led to the decision for the government to say that black people cannot occupy these sort of jobs in these sort of areas, you know? So it's part of a system.
Yeah.
And it needs to be resolved. And this is the very first way that we're going to resolve it.
100%.
I mean, are
we going to take a call quickly?
Let's take a call.
Okay, cool.
Caller, good evening. Welcome to the Country Duty Show.
Hi.
Yes. How are you?
I mean, it's Maricela, man. I think there was something wrong. I had the app on and I could hear myself talking.
Okay. So no worries. Welcome, Maricela.
Yeah, no, okay, I was saying... there's nothing remarkable about Nsanka Nene.
Yes.
I don't know anything outstanding that he has done that warrants this celebration about his appointment.
Yeah.
safe to say that he's a black appointee for that position of finance.
Are you calling him an employment equity appointment?
Not really, but I'm just saying, I say there's nothing special about that guy, let's just be honest. And you would notice that subsequent to Zuma lying that he was going to some BRICS establishment, companies that hired him, it was just hiring on the basis of sympathy. There's nothing special I know about that guy. Nothing really. Unless anyone can come and tell me that he has done this and that. Except me, except that letter. Remember that letter that he wrote to Dumien, refusing, I think, to grant some loan or advance the financial advice. Yeah. Except that, I don't think there's anything
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, and we appreciate your views. And do keep listening and follow hashtag Country Duty on Twitter.
Sure.
Great stuff, man. Thanks, man. Cheers. Bye.
You know what Miss was saying, which I wanted to just say, especially because now I'm from Limpopo, I'll just say it in a basic way that Renali, where you can say ga tshweni, ga molepo, ga sole, ga mangmang, it doesn't matter, okay? This is where you say when the chief khoshi are, you see from that pole, ne? And as far as your head and your eye can see, that's your portion of the land.
Yeah.
You understand? So it wasn't a mistake that this is how we did it.
Yes.
You understand? Until someone else came in and said, okay, fine. Now all of a sudden there are laws and things and this and this and this that are covering. Mm. But that is the basic things. People, and if someone says, why do you want the land back? What are you going to do with it? And I'm saying for a basic person, it has absolutely nothing to do with anything. At the end of the day, all I know was that my land started from that corner to that end.
Yeah.
And you came and took a portion of it. And now I want it back.
It's as simple as that.
Irrespective of what I am going to do with it.
100%.
I can grow tomatoes. I can lie on it.
You know?
I can leave it as is.
Yes.
But I want to stand there, look at it and say from that corner to that corner,
that is
my land.
100%.
And that is like the basic explanation. So there's no need for us to be trying to get intellectual about it, trying to get like bringing laws and things. Those are the laws that were actually implemented to work against us in the first, like in the first run.
Yeah.
So then why?
No, and you're raising a good issue. But you know, TB, so as you would know, any constitutional amendment requires a process. Mm. And unfortunately, we don't have much time. You know, what do you think is going to happen? You know, parliamentary process approving the expropriation without compensation, that's the first tick.
Yeah.
There's going to be public hearings. But what do you think is going to unfold from a process perspective?
Yeah, you know, and I think it's going to take a long, long time because people have already taken positions on the issue.
Yes.
If you're a white person, you don't want expropriation without compensation.
Yeah.
If you're black, you want it. And it's like people have already made decisions about what should happen and there will be a ton of resistance.
Yes.
And I imagine that after the parliamentary process has gone through, people are still going to go to the Constitutional Court to say, we don't like this. We don't like the process that was followed. We don't like the decision that was made. And, you know, I remember when we were in varsity, our constitutional law lecturer was saying that the Constitution was drafted based on a number of principles. So when at a point where the ANC wanted to amend the Constitution, very key amendments, people were resistant to that, forgetting that this is just a document that everybody agreed to. That people wanted to go back to those principles, saying that these principles are above the Constitution.
Yes.
So you can't, for instance, with this particular matter, you can't say that you're going to take away land without expropriation because that principle that we agreed to before drafting the Constitution guaranteed that we're going to have our land and you're not going to expropriate it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's incorrect for people to be taking positions at this stage because there will be consultations.
100%.
And you will put forward your views. and it'll be explained to you why there's a need for this to happen.
100%. But I think for me, really, you know, and I was actually shocked, but not surprised, you know, where AfriForum said, amongst other things, this amendment is as good as dealing, or rather voiding or repudiating the 1994 agreement. Surely the negotiators at the time were didn't have our interest at heart. And they must be called out. We need to understand what those sunset clauses are, and we must deal with it properly.
Yeah, but you know, not only that. I think the biggest concern for those guys, in my view, was ensuring that people don't die unnecessarily.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of different pressures that they were facing at that stage,
yes.
And we can't be held to the decisions that they made at that stage, yes. If things have changed.
Yeah, yes.
No, I
definitely.
Mean, circumstances have changed. The world has changed.
Yeah, it is at ransom.
It's really,
it is.
At I mean,
it's like, yeah.
Everything. If you're going
like,
to say,
a rock in a very hard place.
Somebody's going to come out here and say they're going to die because they don't even know what to do with the land. Like, no, honey. Really.
Yeah, but that question assumes so much, you know?
Yeah.
We're saying this is the land is part of a system.
Yes.
So, if people need to be taught how to farm, that will happen.
Yeah.
If whatever people need to be taught, that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because exactly. It's not like white people popped out of somewhere and then they had all of these
we
skills.
We got so comfortable in our, what do you call it?
Discussions.
No, in reconciliation that we didn't get
we
justice.
Didn't do the, yeah, the basics.
So now we're out here for the justice, Shane. Yeah. We've got the reconciliation, and we're grateful and well done. And Rainbow Nation, kumbaya, wonderful. Can we have the land back?
And I think it's going to be a joint process. This is not an insult or something that white people should be scared about.
They really should.
They need to come. Let's sit and let's have a chat. I've seen people, white people, also, you know, outlining the privilege, what they have. Yeah. And how this is important, because
yes,
land is
that
dignity,
capital nonsense.
You know, and we must afford it to our people. Guys, an hour is not enough.
Yeah, and now we have to go. They're showing us, you know, when
the air.
Seconds and hand signals, that's when you know we need to go, we need to bounce.
Sure.
But yeah, this has been Country Duty, guys. Keep sending us your comments on social media, on Twitter, at Country Duty.
ZA.
Yeah,
use the hashtag. Let's get the conversation going on Twitter. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Thank you
next week.
Thank you.
Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.